Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
And it begins again. Thank you for joining me this evening. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. If you tuned in last week at this time, you didn't hear a show because I had some technical difficulties. I do hope that you're hearing me now. They've offered a new option here on Blog Talk Radio for us to call in the show. We have to call in and, you know, dial in our magic number and it pass through the portals and get to host our show. Last week I was out of town. I was actually staying with my brother for the evening and laptop and his laptop and blogtalk.com didn't belong. And I had neglected to write my code number down so that I could get a show from my phone. I think after almost 3 years doing this that I would remember what the host pin is. I did remember the first three or four characters. But unfortunately, the host position being one of incredible responsibility and sensitivity, there is an enormous host pin to remember. So that sort of tanked the show for last week. Very sorry to tune in. Just got dead air. So I guess I'm just going to have to make this week's show twice as good. So obviously I started it off by taking an incredible risk and clicking on this new icon that's on our talk studio. What do you call this? This thing is what do you call it, a desktop? I'm not sure. Thing that we do our show from, and we can click and I can see if people are calling. Sort of control. There's a new thing on there that we can call in. What is it called? Let's see if I can find it. Gosh, I hope it's working. Okay, it's Zingaya. D-I-N-G, or is it Zingaya? Z-I-N-G-A-Y-A. And since you can call, just call the call in on Zingaya. And then I don't have to spend my own money on Skype. So I decided to try that. Unfortunately, there's no feedback, so I don't really, I mean, it says it's working. I don't know if you can actually hear me or not. I think that if there was no signal coming through, that talk would go ahead and cut me off or say that, that I wasn't connected. I wasn't just piping another half an hour of dead air to you. If that happens, I'm sorry, but of course you won't hear that apology because we'll proceed under the assumption that I am on. I have the sacred fire is right behind me. I think it's probably a little bit too close, especially the one that I'm burning tonight is a bit on the inside. They aren't marked. They're color-coded, and I neglected when I bought them to make note of exactly which sort of scents. They had they aren't practical scents. It's not like a lemon or something like that. They have sort of dreamy names to them. Tried to pick things that were related to serenity or some sort of spiritual connection. Not that you would be able to tell from where you are. But I do like to set the scene in make it authentic in some ways, whatever. Interestingly, I can't remember if I told this story on many years ago when I met Supreme Chief. That's not the right title. I just don't remember what it is. The guy who runs the Nimenha Church, the whole thing, visited us. This has been several years ago. So we were all setting up our bundles. And I was burning my incense, and he asked me where incense came from. And at that time, I couldn't. I'd had the incense for a while, and I honestly could not remember where I had gotten it. The answer for this is Chief Cloud Power. Anyway, I have an answer for Chief Cloud Power. And then I said, you know, I have a beautiful story for everything else that's in this medicine bundle, except for the incense. And what does Chief Cloud Power ask me about? He asks me about the incense. Well, anyway, I guess that's maybe that's to try and cut through the preparation and to what's really going on inside the medicine bundle. I have a bundle actually sits in my front window now. I took my shrine table, which is actually a small table that belonged to my mother's Aunt Helen. And she gave it to me, but made me swear that I would not sell it or give it away. But it's offensive. It's just a family heirloom. It's an old game table. It's got a checker/chessboard. Someone painted and shellacked over it. I just threw a cover over it, and I laid my medicine bundle out. Sitting in my front window for it to take a look at. So in that sense, my bundle is always open and go someplace. I need to take it with me or talk about it, just to have some element of it along with me. I'll just take it. You know, I'll take, like, there are a number of stones in my bundle. A lot of people carry stones. So I'll just take one and some other bundle. Just pick it up and take it with me, and then return it. So the bundle is always open. In that sense, I'm always in ceremony, and I need to be cognizant of opportunities to practice, even if that practice isn't directly requested. But at the same time, I don't want to. I think it's bad to be intrusive. Say, oh, by the way, I could practice a little shamanic stuff for you. Mostly it has to do with, when I'm out and about, practice has to do with nature signs, trees, a lot. I hear trees. It's a song. I talk to the tree from the Peter Wagon. That's not what I mean. I mean, it's sort of impressions from nature. I just remember to be cognizant of that. Because spirit is trying to nudge me in the direction. Spirit won't, just as I don't want to interfere directly in situations that I may encounter, spirit is not going to interfere directly in my life. But it'll give me a gentle push in the right direction if I ask and if I'm open to receiving that push. So nature signs are something I'm particularly in tune with. Especially a place where I'm very fortunate to live, a place where there's some old trees that have been chopped down. I'll be losing them a bit at a time. At some point, not too near future, they're going to be this far. I've already taken away most of them that were down in the university. Still have ours up this way. I think what kind of saves us is that there is a wetlands preserve along the university. They would probably to preserve that. Interesting note about the preserve before. It's a great place to walk. As again, if you're looking for nature signs, you've got your water, you've got your trees, you've got all kinds of animals, all kinds of birds. And the story was that this whole area, town, the area where I live, nearby university area, it was a swamp. 100 years ago, perhaps more like 120 years ago now. And the engineers cleaned it up, you know, so they could build this metropolis on top of it. And there's all sorts of contrivances that have to be built and maintained to keep the water from... Well, somewhere along the lines, and of course all the animals and the birds that used to live here, you know, most of them flew off crawled off because there weren't any wetlands for them to live in. Somebody came up with the idea a few years ago that we ought to take just a piece of that and let the water creep again. Reestablish that, and maybe the animals, maybe the Lorax will come back. You know, maybe the animals and such, their home. So they did that, and they did it with the expectation that it would take, you know, a human generation at least, you know, 15, 20 years, before they saw any effect. And yet within 2 years of the project beginning, they had evidence that over 90% of the species that were once native to this area and then left after the wetlands were cleaned up had made their way back. In just 2 years, and types of birds and types of animals that hadn't been seen in this part of the state in over a century are back. We have a nesting group of blue herons, which are just the most ridiculous looking. I don't say ridiculous, it's impossible. You look at a blue heron and you say, how could that thing exist? I mean, they're beautiful. It's huge. And when they fly, they just sort of lift off. It's amazing. It's really amazing because they have this huge wingspan. It's just like one flap, and they're up, and they're just soaring over. It's really something to see. I dreamed once that I was sitting by that river, and a school of beluga whales came along. Belugas are the white-colored whales, they're kind of like really, really big dolphins. Really, really big albino dolphins. That's what they look like. They just come swimming down. I don't think we'll probably... If I had to put money on it, I'd say we probably won't ever see beluga whales down this far. But certainly there's plenty of things to see down there. Lots of nature's creatures to commune with. And I think the whole area seems happier. There's a happier vibe than there once was. It's a good place for me, which is why it doesn't seem to make sense that I'm thinking about leaving it, but maybe what happens. First things first. I did, I turned in my resignation at the part-time job I have, working with elderly disabled people. While I consider the work to be very important, it is a fact that it doesn't compensate me well. I don't get enough hours to really... To be able to live. So a move needs to be made. A friend of mine, actually Eric, is an energy-related business. He's a therapist. It's the meditation and messages session I like to go to here. Down. He had worked for this other firm. I will be scoring standardized tests. And there's some mixed feelings that go along with that. Okay, I hope you're there because my computer screen just went black. I think that was probably, it was probably the screensaver kicking in. Why that's never, perhaps Skype was keeping me. Okay, now I've completely, I was talking about Eric, and he told me about this firm that scores standardized tests. And I'm not a big fan of standardized tests, but if they need to be scored, and if someone's going to be paid for scoring them, at least for a little while. But of course, the questions where you just fill in, on the little bubble sheet, the computer scores those. They also have questions where the student has to write a paragraph, answer this question in a paragraph. Not, a human being still has to look at it. Or, say, a math question where you get credit for showing your work, even if you get quite the right answer, but see from that they were sort of on the right track. They had an idea of those type of judgments, human judgment is still required. So I'm going to do a little bit of that, and that will last through the end of June, and then I will be looking for a way to say, well, why? Why give up that other job? Because, it was sort of on. Well, my feeling from it was that it wasn't going any further. I was never going to go any further with it. The next level up was a level of a supervisor, and I didn't quite like the supervisor's job very much because the super has to step in if he can't find a staff member to work at one of his houses. He's got to step in and do the shift. And also my impression was the supervisors don't make a whole lot of staff. Nobody, it's dependent, it's highly dependent on your things are so tight right now. You're just not going to make it kind of work. And I seem callous about it, but I need to be able to make a living. I don't have extravagant expenses. I don't have extravagant tastes, and yet this company. Still about $200-$300 short a month. Dipping into my savings until it's starting to be exhausted. Tell anybody I said savings because if they knew I had savings. I'd probably. Okay, now I've gone down a path I really don't want to go. The savings is my mother controls the savings, and she's controlled that money ever since I went to the hospital in 2007. So I needed someone to take care of my finances for me. And there's some money there, and she has controlled it, and she lets it out to me in small bunches because I don't like to have a lot of cash laying around. I have a lot of cash laying around. Sometimes I make some poor decisions to use it. And then, of course, I don't have it when I need it. So she's sort of tasked to preserve that tiny bit of wealth from me. And if I have to keep dipping into that, $200 or $300 at a time, it's not that much of it. I would continue working at that job for, say, I think I had 6 months worth left, and then there just would have been what truly have been trying to get ahead of that. But again, if there's nothing for me time-wise, what expression is that? If I'm not working full-time by June or July, there's going to be a major change I've had. Probably be moving back with my parents for the fifth time. This is more effective for me, and it's more effective continue. I don't see that by any means as a permanent solution. I really do want to get back to this city. I like it being here. Saying I've, one way or the other, I'm probably not going to be in this specific area so close to the wetlands anymore. I find a place to do my commuting. To say that is obviously if I have to go home and live with my parents for a while, obviously I won't be here. If I am here, I'm thinking some of the, I like my space, I was just thinking this, I do enjoy the space that I have here. What's just highly annoying is the lack of off-street parking. And I guess it's sort of, I don't know, is it expected or unexpected? I like to think I have a spiritual bent, and it's something so bourgeois that's really annoying me. I don't have a place to park my car. And the job I'm doing now, the job that I just resigned from, I have to take my car out just about every day for some reason or another. You have to have a car while you're there in case an emergency happens and you have to take somebody to the hospital. Now, this new job I'm doing is right on the bus line. I'm going to take Dakota. So then the whole parking issue isn't so much of a big deal. But then comes street cleaning in the spring, and you got to move the car. You got to remember not to leave your car parked on the street or tow it away. Last time it cost me close to $300 to get out. And then comes football season, and we live right on the main drag. I live right on the main drag of football. So when a home football game, everybody's got to get their cars off the street and park it someplace else. So as I'm saying this, I'm thinking, this all sounds when I say it aloud. But it is a source of extreme frustration for me. On top of other things I need to worry about, I also need to worry about where I'm located. And it's been this way. I've been doing this for drunken stupor and sideswipe my car. I know people honestly have had their car sideswiped. One evening it happened, space where that I often put my car did at that time, that night, for whatever, probably because someone else was parking there, I had to park someplace else. And that car that was parked in the space I usually park got sideswiped that night. So I've been that close to having it happen. The car's been broken into a couple times. They've never taken anything, which kind of, I don't know whether to be assaulted. My stuff wasn't. It's all tiny stuff, but it adds up to perhaps a change is in the offing. Perhaps a change is what's needed to move me forward. Maybe I am too comfortable in this space. Maybe this space has served its purpose, and I need to surrender it to someone else who perhaps needs a little bit more than I do, and move on to the next thing. Does that make sense? The studio just disappeared again. Must be a screensaver, so we're What else was I going to talk to you about this evening? I have these local government services that I take, and as I say, if they knew, Mama had a little bit of cash that she was doling out to me every once in a while, I might not get these services anymore, so don't tell them. But I do, there's a county mental health go for counseling. They also provide me with an advocate to help me out with trying to get onto Medicaid and so forth. And there's a doctor there who writes my prescriptions for me to charge me that service. I still have to pay for my prescription, but lithium is pretty much in the public domain now. And it costs $5 a month, so the it's really breaking, stretching the imagination. So I was there this morning and sort of spilling my guts to my therapist. I had a therapist when I was at the university, which was an actual psychologist. And as you go, they have this mental health service for students, and I was a student while I was working there. And I went there, and you talk to one of their psychologists as an intake. First appointment, you talk to the psychologist, and the psychologist assigns you to one of the interns who works there. You know, it's a teaching kind of situation. But a few people, the psychologist decides to keep for themselves because they don't want to inflict them on students. And I was one of those who got to see the psychologist directly. And that was a very productive relationship. That lasted for about 3 years, and he retired shortly before I was compelled to leave the university. And I missed that. The therapist that I have now is very good at what she does, but she's not a psychologist. And frankly, it's difficult because she's female for me to really cut loose with some of the things that are bothering me. But, you know, that is what it is. I'm not paying anything for it. It does still help for me to go. It's maybe not quite as not quite as deep of a experience as I might need. But my things for me. I'll be able to become a fully-fledged productive citizen again and be able to afford to pay for these things myself, which, of course, is what I want to do. What I think most people in my situation really want to do, despite the opinions of certain politicians. But I digress. The rest of my day, exaggerating, I said that, but I needed to go to the Social Security office downtown to get a copy of my Social Security card, which has gone astray at some point in the last year or so. I'm probably still applying for certain things where I need a Social Security card. Lost as I was transporting place to place. So I went to the big Social Security office downtown, and where she go, security guard. There's a line of people. The security guard liked to amuse herself by guessing where each person in line was to go, because the federal building has all kinds of things. Social Security is there. INS is there. What else? Internal Revenue. A bunch of, you know, all the city-based local offices of the federal government are all in this building. And the security guard liked to demonstrate her prowess, like looking at you and guessing which of the offices you were in. So I got up, and she looked me over, and she said, IRS? I look like somebody who has tax problems, I guess. I said, no, I'm going to Social Security. She was just kind of, actually seemed kind of bemused that she'd gotten fooled. She won't be fooled. And I said upstairs, I went upstairs to the office, and I pounded in my information, what I computer screens, what are you here for? And he gave me a list of things that I need. And they gave me a number. It was C-230. C as in cat, 230. And I go sit down, and I start calling numbers. There's A numbers and B numbers and C numbers. And I start to imagine there must be some sort of classification of services. Now, is it just certain things that put under A, B, and C? Or is there some sort of hierarchy implied, you know, that perhaps the A problems are the most complicated or the most important, B is next, and C, I'm there, I'm the dregs, you know, all I need is my card replaced, so I'm going to wait until somebody isn't needed for something more. So these are things I do to pass the time while. I also noticed that most of the people in the room were people of color. I wondered why people of color would visit Social Security more and disproportionately as opposed to white people. Answer for that. Perhaps there's an alternative path to these services that most white people know about that I don't have sort of out of like that. But it just wasn't there. I mean, I think I was there for about an hour and a half, actually, waiting in the waiting room, sort of Calcutta-style waiting room. Talk to people through windows, although there wasn't any glass. I thought it was like, okay, I'm going to be talking to them through glass. But there wasn't any glass in the window. There was just more I walked up. I told the lady what I wanted. She took my number. I had to give her some picture ID. She said I'd get my Social Security card in the mail in about a week till then, and I was out of there. So I have to say, overall, my experience with the office, Social Security, was very positive today. Got an opportunity to feel some energy around me that normally I don't. Normally I avoid crowds. It's just certainly a crowd. I feel very well. It's all free. To crawl away from anything, didn't feel like I needed to find a corner. So these are all things that encourage me that at some point I will once again become at least be able to present the facade of a person that fits in probably is to quite someone I can move among the sort of bourgeoisie. I wouldn't have been bourgeois by any stretch of the imagination. Be deep undercover within the sort of hegemonic society and not be immediately pegged as someone who doesn't belong. Because that's my feeling. I feel very much like someone who doesn't belong. I expressed on I felt that I had been left on this planet by mistake at some point. But not thinking in terms necessarily of space aliens or anything like that, but, you know, our spirits, we're all delivered here from somewhere, and I have to assume that this is not the only possible destination. There are other places where spirits can go. I just wonder if I wasn't misaddressed, you know, if they didn't slap the wrong barcode on me or something, and I ended up here. I just feel, because I just feel so disconnected and so alien to things that the vast majority seem to accept without question. I don't necessarily want to be that person who accepts everything without question. But I would like to be someone who can pass for someone who accepts those things because I can learn a lot that way. And I'm into learning things. So here I am. Next week may be a bit of a problem again because it's the last time I'm going to be doing my Friday shift, which I only very occasionally. The place I'm leaving is a Friday shift. It goes up to 11 o'clock, but sometimes the guy I work with has to stay longer. And if he does and it goes past midnight, I wouldn't be able to do the show. Last time that happened, Iggy was kind enough to step up and do the show for me. I'll ask him to do that and perhaps try to record a show. Maybe everything will be okay and I'll be able to do it. But I'm certainly looking forward to having my evenings free in that respect and also for being able to spend some more time with my daughter who recently got a promotion at work and schedules workouts where we can have our dinner once a week. Like, again, hopefully all that will work out. And I'm out of time. Thank you for joining me this evening. Please join me next week. I'll make every effort to have some sort of show for you. And thanks once again. Pleasant good evening.